Hey, this is Renee Washington, ESPN and Fox Sports reporter, joining On the Board Sports Podcast.
You can put it on the board. Yes. And welcome back to another edition of the On the Board Sports Podcast. I am your host, Will Trucci, aka Will C. Happy TGIF to everybody out there, but it's almost like a Sunday. Every day feels like a Sunday during this pandemic. I know I keep on saying this. I'm going to have to put that on a t-shirt. But regardless or not, we're here. We're recording an episode. And today we have a very special guest with us. Joining us is the one and only Aaron Ashley Simon. Aaron, thank you so much for sacrificing some time with us to talk not only about sports, but just about just change in the world in general. Thank you so much. How are you today?
Well, one, thank you for having me on here. I really do appreciate it. And also, how am I doing? You know, it's definitely a day-by-day question I always have to ask myself. For the most part, I'm well. But there's been so many things happening with the pandemic and just all sorts of things. But, you know, I'm very hopeful that things will change for the better and get better as soon as possible. So, you know, I try to keep a positive attitude every single day.
Absolutely. And for the people that don't know who you are, tell us how you got into esports and how you became your own producer just about, and what made you want to get into this?
So funny enough, how I got into esports, it all started back when I first got into doing journalism work, and it was literally by accident. I had a blog when I was 16, 17 years old, and I was covering high school basketball and some other sports content, and it really took off. And, you know, there were people from various different traditional sports media companies like ESPN, CBS Sports, Fox Sports, and they were looking at my content, and that was the early stages of my career and just entering to the scene. So I came in via traditional sports journalism. From there, I majored in journalism and minored in business management at the University of Kentucky and worked with our athletics department to do additional work in terms of media, worked for the local newspaper, eventually went on to doing work for the Wall Street Journal for their sports section. And, you know, in between that time and the time now currently that I'm in, I did work some additional sports media work, as well as I worked for Diddy's television network. It was more music media focused, called Revolt TV. And there is where I developed my producer skill sets. And I was part of the social digital team, but eventually I got an opportunity to produce for a digital series, and then eventually develop those series into programs for the TV network. So through all that experience, right, how did I get to esports? So it started with actually a conversation I had with my friend, one of my really good friends, Kyle Harvey. I did some work for a publication that he was a managing editor for, and him and I used to always have these very extensive conversations about culture and gaming. Because we're both massive gamers. Like, I've been a gamer all my life. Like, my family, you know, has been involved in the gaming industry as well. And so this was something that was always, it was never looked at as a waste of time. It was just something that we, you know, my parents, myself, my older brother were very passionate about and we loved. And we had these very deep conversations about, like, the cultural impact of Grand Theft Auto radio stations and Tony Hawk Pro Skater, and how that impacted a generation of kids when it came to music. Because back then we didn't have the Spotify discovery and all these other different discovery platforms. It was either TV or video games, or like the likes of a LimeWire, Napster, as for how we found our music, or just right, even word of mouth. And so we would have these conversations, and my friend Kyle was like, why don't you just start writing about it? So I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I started writing about it for the publication, and eventually, you know, I was aware of various different competitive scenes, and I followed a bit of the FGC, which is the fighting game community, and watched that competitive scene and some others. I started actually really, really covering the league from a professional standpoint instead of a personal standpoint, was the NBA with their NBA 2K League. So I covered the first season, and then later on, one of my friends, Jeff Eisenbaum, They were doing a Twitch show called The Post Up, and Jeff was going to be a host. So he was like, hey, we need another host. They're looking for a woman. I thought you'd be great. And that was the beginning of my broadcast career within esports. And it's funny because when I did it, I was like, oh, this is fun. You know, I get paid for it. This is pretty cool, right? But I didn't expect it to then transform into an actual broadcast career, because everything I did before then was behind the scenes. And so then, like, after that, I eventually met a producer for the show that I used to work for called Cheddar Esports. I met him at Red Bull Conquest, which in Washington, D.C., which is a fighting game competitive tournament. And I also met several other friends that were instrumental in terms of my career, like Amanda Stevens and a few others. And that was the beginning of me entering into the esports world as a host, as a broadcaster, and a producer in that component. And my entire experience at Cheddar Esports, it really allowed me to learn a lot more about the other scenes and have a very, very big grasp on the industry as a whole, past, present, and potentially what it could look like in the future. So honestly, it was just something that I stumbled into. I can definitely say that every single person in the esports industry has a different experience, but there are various people like myself who we didn't plan to work in this industry. Like, this industry was not an option for us in terms of like, oh, you can have a broadcast career in this space. Like, it wasn't an option when we were growing up. So it was just one of those things that, like, we were passionate about, we loved, and, you know, maybe starting out, we didn't make a whole lot money wise, but this is something that we love to be a part of no matter what. And just so happened to make it into a career, which is really great. So that's pretty much my like 11 year experience condensed as much as possible.
The cliff notes of it. I love it. And by the way, Jeff Eisenband came on this show. So,
oh, and nice.
We met at the Outside Game event back in September when you were doing your panel up there and Jeff was doing his thing as well up there. So that was really awesome to see both of you guys doing that. So that's totally cool. Anyway, to get to you, what's it like working, being, you know, a female in this type of work that you do right now? You know, just talk mm-hmm. to us about that.
Yeah, of course. Well, the cool thing is, you know, I've been able to meet various women in this industry and who were very supportive. And there's actually women in some very influential and higher up roles in this industry. And although it needs to be better in terms of diversity and inclusion in esports mm-hmm. and gaming, but it's definitely a lot. Like, I could say that it's a lot better than some other industries that I've noticed, especially when it comes to like traditional sports. So the experience has been, from a business standpoint and from like me engaging with industry professionals, it's been really good. But, you know, anything that's associated with the internet and anonymous accounts and everything like that, you know, of course I've had my fair share of derogatory comments and racist and sexist comments from those who are viewing the content that I'm a part of. So there's that dynamic, right? So just like every other industry, because this is a social problem, like there is racism, there is sexism. And so I've had to really deal with that, and especially considering that I am a public figure in this space. So, but what I can say is the aspect of me working in the industry and the people that I've engaged with in the industry, it's been a very great experience. And honestly, it's been even better personally for me of an experience than when I used to work in traditional sports and music media. Now there's so many different stories that have come up about individuals abusing their power and everything like that. And, you know, I give my love and support to a lot of the courageous and brave women who are speaking up, as well as men. And, you know, just like every other industry, we have our problems and we have things that need to be fixed. But I've been lucky and fortunate enough to come across a lot of genuine people and good people in the industry. And so my experience has been better than some other people who have entered into the scene as well. But I think ultimately having those relationships and just seeing where the industry is, where it needs to be fixed, I think ultimately it just drives me and everyone else to work to making sure that it's a better and more comfortable experience and safer experience for other women who are interested in coming to the scene as well.
How can this all be changed up? I know we're seeing everything going on with the protests and everything like that going on, but as far as a women's movement goes, how do you see something changing about from your perspective?
Well, one, it starts with creating opportunities for young girls early on. I mean, you know, representation, one, is a big component, because a lot of us didn't see a lot. We weren't able to see women in certain positions or roles when we were younger.
Right.
And so, you know, if you don't see that representation, you can't imagine it, right? And some people, it's hard for them to imagine that. And so having these programs where we're actively engaged in the communities and actively engaged with the youth, it's going to help. I mean, even like, you know, there are esports orgs that are starting to establish that, where they're having these training facilities and starting with the youth younger. It also starts with accessibility, right? Esports is very PC driven. And even though there is a competitive console aspect to it, console gaming aspect, it's very much the top tier esports competitive scenes are PC. So PCs are very expensive. So how can we help to integrate these resources into certain programs in high school or middle school environments? It really starts with that, providing them with the necessary skill sets and information so that they themselves can pursue a career or come and enter into this space. Or maybe they want to do other things, right? I think that gaming is a great vehicle for success in general. It teaches you intangibles, you know, like community, hard work, challenges, achieving goals, you know, some of the same intangibles you get with traditional sports, you can get in competitive gaming and learning that side of the industry. And so it starts with that. I also think it starts with removing the toxic people who are in positions who are abusing power. That's another thing that needs to happen. There is an accountability that us as industry people have to have, there's accountability factor that we have to hold on everyone in the industry who are not doing right. So, and it starts from the top down, right? We have to improve the top tier, top level, top execs, top individuals in all aspects of the industry, and making sure that top down, we hold that accountability factor. And then also another thing too is companies need to do better when it comes to moderation and in-game reporting. Like, players and people should not have the ability to put the N-word or a sexist name. And then just some other things. And that's something that, you know, I've been pushing and having conversations with certain people that work at the big publishers and the various different developers, that needs to be implemented as well. Now, of course, like, it's going to take time. I don't expect things to happen overnight, but there are immediate things that we can do as an industry. And the great thing is that there are amazing people in esports who are really coming together and figure out like what we can do. Like, for example, myself and some of the other top broadcasters, casters, commentators who I know personally or who have been recommended to me, who are just amazing individuals. We took the time to do almost a 2-hour educational session, really giving advice and tidbits and information on how people can pursue a broadcast or a production career in esports and gaming. And, you know, we also made it very, we made people aware too that it's not an easy experience either. Like, there, you know, there are a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that we have to deal with that people are not privy to. So we really kept it a buck and kept it real, but we also got top individuals and top professionals to really give even like the simplest advice when it comes to like how to set up your reel. Right? Not everyone knows that. And even that's like the core of your career when it comes to broadcasting, hosting, and casting, right? Is your reel. So even just something as simple as that and giving that information out and providing that access to that information via Twitch, YouTube, and just other platforms, it is important. Educational reform is going to be crucial to every single aspect and change in this industry. Those are some of the things that I see that can contribute to this change, as well as some of the things that companies and individuals are already starting on.
Did you have any idols growing up as far as, you know, and not only in the video game world, but just in outside of that, just who you looked up to and why you wanted to, you know, go down the road that you wanted to go down now?
So for me, I never really had any idols in this space. It's interesting because it's funny because there are people I look up to and respect, but my parents always taught me not to put people on a pedestal. You know, no one's perfect, but there are things that you can learn from everyone as well. you know, one of my mentors has been my mentor for, over 10 years. His name is Mike Hill. He used to be at ESPN as a broadcaster. Now does work at Fox Sports and other places. And he really taught me, great ways to become a better broadcaster and what I need to do. He really helped me with navigating the space as well. He also introduced me to Jemele Hill. And when I was in college, she helped to mentor me and helped me navigate the space and was really keeping it a buck about how the industry is, especially being a Black woman. And so, you know, I had people like those two. I had one of my mentors who's always also been a mentor for well over 10 years is Josh Gotthelf. He's the co-founder of Dime Magazine. And he's been a great mentor in the sense of he really talked to me about the business of media. He talked to me about marketing and branding and just that side of things. And so I had these people who I looked up to in the sense of just how they were so giving and caring and supported me. You know, they saw them, they saw my potential and they wanted to help me even though I was a 16, 17 year old kid. And I still to this day, like they're family to me because I've known them for so long. And so for me, those are the kinds of individuals that I've really looked up to. And even still, like there are some people that have come across recently who I look up to in the sense of just how they are and how they utilize their platforms to speak up on important matters or how they take their time to really help other people. And I think ultimately, you know, it's like one of those things where unfortunately, when it comes to broadcasting, even when it comes to esports, there's this notion that like, oh, there's limited spaces and we're all competing. I mean, yeah, of course, you know, with any job, there is a level of competition, quote unquote, right. But it's also like people don't realize when you're able to help other people, it only helps you in the end. And a lot of times when it comes to at least production in esports, if people like you, and even if you may not be the best for that job and you say, hey, I'm not really great for that position, you may want to give it to someone else. A lot of times if people like you and you're really good at what you do, they'll find a spot for you. So it's always been kind of like one of those things that like my mentors have really taught me about, building genuine relationships, being yourself, being kind and compassionate and having empathy and having and working on emotional intelligence. I think that that's something also that's not really focused as much because that emotional intelligence allows you to connect not only with the people you're talking to, interviewing, or even with the viewers themselves, but it allows you to be empathetic and understanding, which is so crucial for this industry. So so those are some of the people that I've looked up to or they've supported me. And there's a lot of lessons that I've learned from just them mentoring me throughout the years.
Have you had a favorite moment working in the esports community?
Ooh, favorite moment. Favorite moment in terms of like for me or favorite moment in terms of like something that impacted or just something that was like community based?
Well, we could go for both for it.
Okay. So one of my favorite moments in esports, honestly, one of my favorite moments, and I would say it's happened, this kind of specific moment has happened and often, but for me, it's when I have someone who contacts me and tells me, you know, that what I'm doing inspires them to go and pursue their dreams and careers and that the advice and information I give out, like they're so appreciative of it. And for me, these moments are special because it shows that like, you know, the work that I'm putting in to help the community and the work that I'm putting in to help people, like it's impacting people and it's truly helping people. You know, at the end of the day, for me, it's always like, even if I can only help one person, to me, that's a win. And I've always been like that. I've always been a very kind, caring, and like, I'm always trying to help people whenever I can. And so to get those messages, to see that like me speaking up and me really advocating for certain things in this space is helping the industry and helping other people. And so I've had several of those moments. And for me, it's just, you know, cause sometimes like when you're trying to do the right thing and you are really trying to help, you know, sometimes you're like, oh man, like, is this doing anything? Like, you know, sometimes you have these questions because sometimes you don't see the immediate result right away, or you may not be aware of the immediate result because not everyone who's impacted by your actions is going to automatically tell you. So to have people, you know, say that, you know, it lets me know, okay, these charitable initiatives that I'm doing, like I'm on the right path, right? It's working, it's helping, and that's the most important thing. I think another thing too is, for me, like, honestly, like, just seeing the positivity in the industry, like seeing when Dr. Lupo had over $2 million raised for St. Jude, or seeing these charitable initiatives raising millions of dollars to help with different programs and nonprofits, and seeing the positive moments in gaming, because a lot of, like, especially within the past like 2 years, we've seen video games and just the communities, the things that happen. Granted, there's not so good things that happen in this industry, but also it seems like sometimes that those things are highlighted a lot more, especially from traditional media platforms. And it's kind of like this, like, oh, gaming's bad, like this is bad for you. But there's such a beautiful and amazing side to gaming and esports, especially like these community initiatives, that like, it makes me happy to see this. And it makes me happy to see that there are people that are turning a passion and something they love into a career, or even they're able to provide for their family utilizing, you know, the money they get from streaming and just other things. So those are the moments that I appreciate all in all, especially when it comes to just me individually and just the moments that I've experienced or covered or witnessed within esports and gaming as a whole.
What's it like doing the NBA 2K League, doing that with Jeff Eisenband? Because you alluded to it before, you have all these teams just about going out there. I never would have thought that 20 years ago we'd be out there watching people play video games, but yet here we are, and it's kind of amazing the world that we live in right now. Just especially during this pandemic, the last resort just about is watching people playing video games, but yet here we are talking about it. Talk to us about the NBA 2K League and what that means to the fans out there in the world.
Well, I think that for the NBA 2K League, you know, I think that is also another step that we're seeing what we call a non-endemic brand. So essentially, NBA is technically a non-endemic brand because they weren't immersed in the esports scene earlier. To see a non-endemic brand take this on and develop an esports scene with a video game that is the most popular basketball video game right now. And so to see that was really tremendous. And it creates an opportunity for so many people. Like, there are individuals who, you know, when they were trying out, I think I heard one story where one player who was trying out, they couldn't, their parents didn't pay like their light bill or something for a few months just so they could give them money to help with their initiative. And now they're able to make money to support their families and to take something they're passionate about and make it a career. And so the NBA 2K League is that example. And it also shows that there are brands who may not have been involved in the scene as much who are willing to develop this competitive scene and provide opportunities for those who love the game and want to do it the rest of their lives or for however long they want to.
I gotcha. Now, with everything that's gone on, you know, there's always this debate, is esports actually sports? Is it actually doing something that's productive? I think I know the answer coming out of this. Do you consider esports a sport?
Yeah, I do. I do consider it a sport because if we're going to look at the definition of sport, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. A sport is, you know, it's an activity that athletic activity that requires skill or physical physical activity sometimes. But I think that the problem is physical activity, that specific word requires people makes people think like, oh, it has to be like this intense kind of thing. And it's like, no, because you have sports that are like curling, right? Some people may look at it and be like, oh, that doesn't take a lot of physical activity, but it takes a lot of skill sets that are required for it. I think that, and there is that competitive nature to esports. Like, I don't think people realize how much skill sets it really takes to be the top in playing a game. We saw that. Look, we saw NASCAR drivers that couldn't even drive a virtual car. They do that for their careers, but they were crashing the virtual cars in like the first eNASCAR iRacing event. So it's, you know, I think that people think because, oh, you know, because I play video games, it's easy. I could argue and say just because you played pickup basketball with your friends does not mean you know the amount of skills that it requires to play in the NBA. So I do consider it a sport. I think it's competitive. I think it takes a lot of skills. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of preparation to be the best at it. And I hope that people will really start to just understand it a lot more. Because even like, for example, the competitive scene, there are players that they're required to train, some of them. They're required to lift. They're required to stretch. They're required to do certain things because you're sitting in a chair and you're having to do fast. You still have twitch fast like twitch movements and everything like that, right?
Right.
Even some professional athletes say they game because it helps keep them like those abilities fresh, right? Yep. So I think that there is a very misunderstanding when it comes to it. I think it's a sport. I think it's very competitive, and I think it's up there. And you know, there are other traditional sports, you know, that people can say like, oh, well, you can say that doesn't require like as much physical activity as others, but it doesn't mean that it's less of a sport because you yourself think that, you know. Mm-hmm. I would love for it to see people compete and play up against other pro gamers the same way that we saw people who are not that great at tennis try to make a scene and problem with Serena Williams. It's like, no, like try it. And see, but don't hate on it because you don't understand. I think that's a problem. People hate on things because they don't understand it, or they think they so understand it, but it's like, no, you don't.
That's so true. Hey, truer words were never spoken right there. And Aaron, you said it the best. Well said on that one. Aaron, just to talk about, you know, women in gaming in general, you know, I know it's a, you could go in there, anybody could go out there and play a video game, right? And you see it's usually mostly a male-dominated thing up until, you know, recently seeing you doing it. You know, what is it that you can look at and you can see, you know, with changes going about, how can and what can women do to get into esports?
Well, I think one of the things that women can do to enter into this space is there are communities that are run by women. You know, there are initiatives and communities in like the fighting game community that are just a collective of awesome women who love fighting games. There are Discords for that, Discord communities. And for those who don't know what Discord is, it's kind of like Slack, but it's catered more towards like gamers and content creators.
Right.
There are those. There are events, right? Like obviously not right now because we can't go to it, but when we can, there are events you can go to where you can meet up with other fellow women, you know, in the industry, or develop these friendships in this space. And now we're also seeing some programs that are being made that are catering towards high school and middle school programs. And so that's a great way. I think that, you know, obviously if you love to game, definitely like play games, learn games, watch the competitive scene, you know, you'll be able to find other women in this space who love the game as much as you do. And some titles are a little bit harder to find other women compared to others, but there are women out there who love it. And I think also it's our responsibility as industry professionals and vets that we create these safe spaces and comfortable spaces for women and young girls to want to enter in, and to know that, you know, there are women who are in or who work in this industry as well. And so it's an active step for everyone, but there is a place for different women with different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different orientations in this industry.
Aaron, my final question for you is, with everything that's going on right now, the future of esports, give us the, we know what it looks like right now. We went through it in the past. What does the future hold for esports right now?
Well, esports is growing and it's not slowing down. I feel like in some very strange way, the quarantine has put an emphasis and attention for from those who really probably before weren't paying attention to esports, who are now, because a lot of traditional media platforms are, they have no choice but to put that content up because there's no sports. So I feel like that connection of non-endemic and mainstream into this scene is happening a lot faster than if the quarantine wasn't such a thing. And so I do see that we're going to see a lot more brands enter into this space. We're seeing a lot of athletes that are now, and celebrities that are investing, they're getting more involved now than probably before. Excuse me. And then another thing too is we're going to start to see the development of Path 2 Pro be more clear and concise. Path 2 Pro in the sense of professional gamers, there's really no specific, oh, you need to do X, Y, and Z, right? In traditional sports, you have like, okay, you start with AAU, then you go to, you can go to this high school, this program, then you go to this college if you like, and then you go here, or you can go overseas. There's not quite an option for that right now in esports where it's like, okay, this is a very distinct plan. If you want to go another route, you can, but this is like a clear path.
Right.
We haven't established that yet. That's something that the industry is working on. We're also working on establishing a path to professional career where it's like, if you want to be a broadcaster, these are the things and steps you need. Like, there's no particular clear pathway for that because we haven't established a connection with the collegiate scene and the professional major scene. That's starting to be developed, right? You know, because right now you don't have to go to college to be a pro player. But we are developing the competitive scene in colleges as well as the development process, not only in college, but the development process on the majors as well. And there's things that are being implemented slowly bit by bit. Like now they're starting to get professional teams like therapists and trainers. Like these are things that are being added. I think that, you know, even though there's a lot of money in this industry and just a lot of things that people see, esports is still a young industry compared to other industries. So there's still so many areas of growth and opportunity and just a lot of loopholes and gray areas and certain avenues that we need to find, like tighten up a little bit. And that's going to happen and that's going to start to happen. So definitely best believe you're going to see a lot more stable ecosystems and stable formats and stable pathways that a lot of us are working to get better. And it's honestly going to get bigger, better and greater because these video games aren't going away anytime soon. There's a new generations and multiple generations that are getting into gaming. And also now, the millennials like myself, we're starting to have kids and we are a generation that grew up playing video games. So right. That generational disconnect that we had with our parents, it's probably not going to be the same for when we have our kids. You know, there's going to be a whole generation of children that have parents who play video games or maybe their grandparents play video games. So that disconnect of video games and just the value is going to be understood a lot better than some of us had to deal with our own parents. So it's going to change. Things are going to get better. It's only going to get bigger. And I'm really excited to be a part of this entire journey. And I'm really excited to be, you know, even on the earlier onset of like the shows and programs and broadcasting side of it as well.
Aaron, thank you so much for coming on to the On the Board Sports podcast and sacrificing some time. I know you're a busy lady. And we really appreciate it here. Before we go, though, how do the people follow you and how do the people follow your work on social media?
Yeah, of course. You can follow me at Aaron A. Simon, E-R-I-N, the letter A, S-I-M as in mother, O-N as in Nancy. That is my username for all social media platforms, as well as that is the same for my own personal website, AaronASimon.com, where I have a lot of my work, charity initiatives, and more on that website. And yeah, feel free. If you have any questions pertaining to just broadcasting or anything, feel free to tweet me. And also, I'll be posting a lot of educational, informational videos and sessions on Twitter, and I especially on LinkedIn, to help people better understand esports and gaming as a whole.
You know, that's another thing too. I'm bad at this. You brought up LinkedIn. It's another social media platform, but really, for the people out there that don't understand how to use LinkedIn, how can they go out there and just basically build up their platform? How can they go out there and do it?
So especially when it comes to LinkedIn, you know, it's the platform is for business and professionals. And one of the great ways you could build your platform is either you're an expert or you are someone that's providing information within an area with your own twists and opinions on it. Me, I took the educational route. I understood that there are a lot of people in the industry Well, there are people in the industry that are continuing to learn, but there are also a lot of people outside who are trying to learn about esports and some of the things that happen within the scene. So I've been able to use my platform in sense of like, hey, I interview a lot of people. Why don't I just post that content on my platform? There's an esports hashtag that everyone follows or pays attention to, and developing that way. So it's really about being a voice or a thought leader in your space, or an expert, or someone who as you are continuing the process and journey of learning, you bring people along with you. And it's about developing that sense of community and developing relationships along the way. And that's essentially how you build your social media. It's, you know, knowing what value you give and then developing that sense of community on your platforms.
Aaron, thank you so much for, like I said, sacrificing some time and talking esports and broadcasting with us and just diversity in general. It's just absolutely awesome to hear you talk about all those points earlier, and we just want to say thank you for coming on. We really appreciate you sacrificing some time for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on as well. I had fun, and I can't wait to see the other guests you'll have bring on from esports as well.
Definitely. Well, we had Jeff. We had Jeff Eisenband, great guy. I'm sure you probably know about other people too, like Brian Fonseca and, you know, those guys like that. We had them on as well. So you're the third, and we can't wait to bring on more people from esports. This is absolutely awesome to see, and, you know, keep on continuing with the great work, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome back on anytime. We really appreciate it. Thank you again. That's the one and only Aaron Ashley Simon from NBA 2K League and just e-gaming and everything like that in general. So, hey, I learned a lot today, just not only about LinkedIn, esports, diversity, but just in general, it's always great to see. No final thoughts here as well. Just thank you again to Aaron for coming on. And yeah, for everybody here from the On the Board Sports team and for the aforementioned Aaron Ashley Simon, I'm your host, William Trucci, logging out. We will talk to you guys soon. Peace out.